Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Montrose Paranormal Academy, The Nexus Secret, by Barbara Hartzler. Narrated by Natasha Sodak. Prologue. 6 months ago. A world of white blinded my eyes, but I couldn't blink. Too much effort. Vague outlines, then silhouettes of color emerged from the whiteness. The ivory outline of a man's face, his hair glowing like sunshine, his pupils full of light.
"You're okay, Lucy. You're going to be okay."
My eyelids sank shut. Too heavy. The smell of antiseptic singed my nostrils. Faint voices wafted through the background. Mom's hushed whisper,
"Should we even give it to her? I don't want to upset her."
Dad's low growl,
"She needs to know her brother is safe. It's her postcard. She has the right to read it."
His muted baritone faded into the darkness.
A postcard? From James?
My eyelids fluttered open. A hospital room. Finally, something tangible. So white, but not blinding anymore. The same bright-eyed man stared down with golden cat's eyes, a smile etched into his perfectly sculpted face.
"Who are you?" I croaked through parched lips. "Where are my parents?"
"I'm here to help, Lucy. You've been through a lot."
With every syllable, warmth twinkled in his clear eyes, soothing my aching forehead.
What happened?
I propped myself up on my elbows. Then the white world tilted on its axis. My head thudded onto the scratchy pillow.
"Easy there. You don't remember the accident?"
His smile faded, but no frown lines creased his face. His hand hovered over my forehead. With a light touch, like the wings of a butterfly, his fingertip grazed my temple. It all came back to me then. And it wasn't an accident. There they were, on the couch. My boyfriend with his arms wrapped around my best friend. His face smushed against hers, lips locked. I winced. How could they? Acid rose up in my throat as tears clawed at my eyes. When I'd screamed at them for betraying me, my BFF had the nerve to tell me off. "Jake wants a girl who stands up for herself," Becca had spat at me. So I'd done exactly that. I stood up for myself and slapped her across the face. Maybe not the best idea, considering the catfight that followed. I remembered breaking a lamp or a vase or something. Then Becca shoved me into the fireplace. My head had smacked into the brick. Hard. That's when the lights had gone out. That was all I remembered until I woke up in this strange hospital room. I reached for my forehead, brushing my fingers against the bandage over the laceration at my temple. Ouch! Back to reality.
Major ouch.
The man eased my hand down.
Better get some rest now. I'll see you again soon.
Good idea. I tried to smile, but my lids drooped again. His golden light drifted away, but his warmth stayed with me, wrapping me in a peaceful cocoon.
Swoosh!
I jerked awake. A woman in scrubs drew back the curtain. "Doctor, she's waking up." The sunshine man was gone, and the day had darkened. A light lasered into my eyes. A white-coated bald guy flicked a flashlight at me, then withdrew it.
"Pupils normal. Hello there, Miss McGowan."
"Oh, where am I? Where's my family?"
The words gurgled from my throat, as if I hadn't spoken in days.
"They went down to the cafeteria. I'm sure they'll be right back."
His beady eyes peered at me behind frameless glasses. He pulled out a pen and scribbled on his clipboard.
"Do you remember what happened?"
"Sort of." There was some kind of accident.
I closed my eyes. The memory popped and crackled into focus like TV static.
It was a fight. I hit my head on a fireplace, right? How bad is it?
The doctor flipped through the pages of my file. Then a low whistle pierced my ears.
You were unconscious for several hours, and you've been sleeping off and on for a few days. There's a severe cut on your head. You lost some blood. Don't worry, though. We fixed you right up.
What do you mean?
I clutched the side of the bed and pulled myself up. A shockwave pounded through my forehead. Then the room wobbled and I slumped back down.
Like brain surgery or something?
Nothing like that.
He dropped the clipboard at my feet and pointed to the IV bag full of clear liquid.
Just fluids to rehydrate you. And stitches. You had a nasty gash on the head from your friend's fireplace. Head wounds can bleed a lot, especially if left untreated for a while.
I raked my fingers through my long hair.
Phew, it was all still there.
I rubbed the dark brown ends against my lips.
Soft, but greasy. I need a shower.
Sorry, but you can't get the wound wet. Your head injury required 11 stitches.
He handed the clipboard to the nurse and she disappeared down the hall.
You rest now. Nurse Sherry will check on you later.
Okay, doctor.
As he padded to the door, a chill crept through the empty room. I called out after the white coat.
What about that nice guy who was in here earlier? Is he a nurse?
I don't think you've had any male nurses in the 3 days you've been at Cedar Creek. Maybe a tech or something.
He waved and dashed down the hallway.
Whoever the golden stranger was, his smile made me feel better. Somehow, he was the only one who did.
The sun slanted a golden beam across my hospital bed. In a flash, I remembered.
Didn't my parents say something about a postcard from my brother? I hope they brought it here.
My heart pounded against my ribcage, setting off a flurry of beeps and squawks from the machine. Feeling around the side of my bed, I pressed the button to raise myself up. There it was, on the bedside table, a postcard of an ancient church in Europe. Reaching for it, I flipped it over to read the back. The postcard read,
"Wish you were here, little sis. I found an impressive church. I hope you find one, too. I'm not sure what you'd love more, the stained glass windows or the libraries full of old books. Books hold so many secrets, just waiting for you to notice them. Don't worry about me. You take care of yourself until I see you again. Love, James."
A tear slid down my cheek, even as I curled my fingers into a fist on the scratchy hospital blanket. My brother had been missing in Europe for 3 years without a word. And now this cryptic message? All this time, I'd been so worried he was dead. My lungs burned as I sucked in a sharp breath. The realization sank deep into my bones, and I lowered myself down. He was still alive. If it wasn't for the three societies, my brother wouldn't have run off to Europe and never come back.
Just because he was the chosen one, the next in line to be the seer, they thought they could dictate his entire life. Well, they were wrong. I had nothing to lose now. No normal life here in Indiana to hide behind anymore. Just because I was the only second-born in the seer's line didn't mean I couldn't use my lesser gifts, as Dad always called them, to find James. My brother was finally reaching out to me, asking me for help. Turning the postcard over, I gripped it tight and pressed it to my chest. I understood what I had to do. Fire coiled in my gut as the anger simmered deep within. I'd go to Montrose Paranormal Academy, where everything got so twisted, and figure out what they did to him. Then I'd find him and bring him home. Present day. I took one last look at my childhood bedroom. My heart somersaulted at each knick-knack I'd collected over the years. My elementary school soccer trophies were nestled next to art fair ribbons and pictures of me and my friends in crazy Halloween costumes.
Was it normal to be excited and scared all at the same time? I guess if you're 16 years old and leaving home for the first time, a little nostalgia is acceptable. Twirling my long, dark hair into a knot behind my head, I shoved more clothes into my beloved suitcase. Hard to believe my dad bought me the pink contraption 3 years ago to attend my brother's graduation from Montrose Paranormal Academy in New York City. Sure, my high-powered parents had intended for me to start MPA the following fall semester as a freshman, but when James disappeared right after his graduation, no one blamed me for refusing to sign up for the same fate. Instead, I'd stayed here in Indiana for 2 years, hoping to fly under the radar during my freshman and sophomore years. But after that awful breakup and strange postcard from my brother, I'd finally decided to attend the dreaded Montrose Paranormal Academy for my junior year of high school. James was reaching out to me. After fearing the worst for 3 years, how could I deny him now? Plus, my parents were loaded, so it wasn't like they couldn't afford the hefty tuition bills. Dad was the best stockbroker in the city, and Mom was in the million-dollar club at her real estate firm. I was lucky they hadn't turned me into a debutante or something equally horrible. Over the years, Mom and I had our feuds over me not joining in on her silly society events. She could never get it through her head that I didn't want to pretend to be perfect. Dad always understood me better and let me be me, and we had a great relationship because of it. The door to my room burst open, and Dad tiptoed through. The way he gingerly closed my door behind his 6'2 frame and padded across the carpet almost had me laughing.
"Lucy girl, before you go, we need to have a talk."
His voice came out hushed but firm. Nothing to laugh at here. A bubble of a giggle died in my throat. "Sure, Dad. Is everything okay?" Dad cleared away a pile of clothes and patted an empty spot on the bed.
"I've been hoping to spare you from this information, but since you insist on attending Montrose, there are a few things you need to understand."
I sat down beside him and braced for impact. "Okay, lay it on me." The corners of his mouth twitched for a second, but the stern stare returned.
"We've told you a little about the three societies growing up. What do you remember?"
"Seriously, Dad?" I exhaled an exasperated sigh as the words tumbled from my lips. "Here's the truth. Even though you never said it out loud, I figured out that you and Mom have opposite views. On the outside, they look like elite organizations that get their members into Ivy League schools. And after graduation, cushy, high-profile jobs in politics, government, and so on. But on the inside, the secret societies keep the world safe from ancient prophecies and legends that date all the way back to the Book of Genesis in the Bible."
"That's correct."
With a gruff nod, Dad ruffled my hair. A serious expression clouded his face.
"This may sound weird, but when you get to Montrose, I want you to pledge all three societies."
I reared backward, squinting at him. Why would I do that? James was the Nexus president when he disappeared. Shouldn't I start there? Dad pursed his lips together and shook his head.
"There are some strange circumstances about Nexus and your brother's disappearance that I'll get to in a minute. But Montrose Paranormal Academy is a school based on a neutral alliance between the three societies. You need to maintain your own neutrality, or at least keep the pretense of not choosing sides to survive there. Do you understand?"
Judging by his serious scowl, I could tell he meant every word. "Okay, you win. If it means that much to you, I'll pledge all three societies."
"Thank you, sweetheart."
He ruffled my hair again, and the worried look washed away.
"Your definition of the three societies is accurate, but there are more sinister undercurrents, nuances, and politics that her mom and I have kept from you until you were mature enough."
Do you think I'm old enough for sinister undercurrents? My heart fluttered at the thought.
He cracked a smile, grabbing both of my hands.
I think you're ready to learn the truth. The Nexus Society isn't all it's cracked up to be.
I furrowed my forehead at him in the way Mom hated.
But you and Mom are both members. I don't get it.
He squeezed my fingers.
The Nexus Society is all about power. They covet power, and they'll do anything to get it. Do you understand why?
With a gulp, I nodded. Because we're part of the firstborn bloodline. Out of our family will come the next seer.
That's right. It's the reason I'm giving you my grandmother's ring. For protection.
From his pocket he pulled out a worn burgundy velvet jewelry box. The hinges creaked as he opened it to reveal an amethyst ring set in a silvery white gold.
Once a century, a firstborn from our bloodline emerges as the seer. Your great-grandmother was the seer of the 20th century, and someone from our family line will be the seer of the 21st century.
Since I'm the second-born, it'll be James or one of his children, right? Is that why he disappeared to Europe?
Examining the beautiful purple stones, I placed the band on my left ring finger. A surge of static electricity zinged up my arm. Dad bit his lip.
Not exactly. Your brother was actually...
Mom burst into the room, beaming at me.
My eldest daughter is going to Montrose Academy. I couldn't be more proud.
I tried to smile at Mom as she grabbed my right hand. Dad stuffed the ring box back into his pocket.
Don't furrow your forehead like that, dear. You look like a worried bulldog.
Mom's fingers slid over my brow. In an instant, I rose to my feet, my gaze darting between my two parents.
What's going on here?
Mom's eyes glistened as she squeezed my hand.
I'm so happy you're attending Montrose like your father. Once you join Nexus and graduate, you'll be a shoo-in for Yale. That's where your father and I met.
Yes, I remember, I mumbled to my flip-flops, wriggling free from her grip.
It's where you wanted James to go before he disappeared to Europe.
She gave me a thin smile.
I want only the best for my children. Of course I want you to join Nexus and attend Yale. You'll be set for life. What mother wouldn't want that for her child?
I cringed and resumed packing. My mother's expectations had always weighed heavy on my shoulders. She came from a high society family, like my father. The only difference was that she expected perfection all the time, or at least the appearance of it. Dad's clan was much more down to earth. Definitely more my speed. My dad seemed to cringe right along with me, but I couldn't help but wonder why. He was on the verge of telling me something important about James, something he didn't want Mom to hear, and he'd just totally bashed Nexus. Could he secretly be a member of one of the other societies? The Guardians or the Watchers? If so, why would my parents be on different sides?
Footsteps pounded on the carpet as my little sister, Paige, ran into the room. What'd I miss?
Just more packing. I'm in desperate need of advice from the house fashionista.
I couldn't help but grin at my sister. Even though she was only 13, she had better fashion sense than I'd ever possess.
Don't worry. Paige to the rescue.
She dove into my closet and brought out armfuls of clothes to pack.
But you'll need a few more suitcases.
You think? I smiled and ruffled her hair, just like Dad always did. It was strange how protective I'd become toward my sister these past 3 years. Somehow, it felt like my job to preserve a little innocence in this house. My brother's disappearance had changed my entire family. Everyone expected James to go off to Yale and on to a prominent life. He'd done everything Mom had asked at Montrose Paranormal Academy. He'd even been elected Nexus president his senior year. But something strange happened on the night of his graduation. My parents had told me James had witnessed his girlfriend's death, and that was what spooked him all the way to Europe. But it didn't add up.
James would never leave without telling me. Mom and Dad were hiding something. Probably a secret Nexus wouldn't let them tell anyone. What role had Nexus played in my brother's disappearance? In a few days, I'd find out for myself. Sure, I'd keep my word and pledge all three societies on campus, but I had my own reasons. They had nothing to do with neutrality and everything to do with finding out the truth about James. Chapter 1. Rough bricks scraped against my fingertips, jagged as the scar at the edge of my hairline. I leaned into the cool shade of my stately campus dorm and forced myself to remember why I wanted to attend Montrose Paranormal Academy. This big, scary school was the only connection I had left to James. The August heat suctioned my long hair to the back of my neck like a wet mop. They jammed too many students onto the circle drive at the campus entrance, mostly freshmen, but a few transfer students like me. It reeked like a smelly old gym sock as we waited for the dean to make her welcome speech. I wiped my moist palms on my plum tank top, but the stink hovered above the orientation day crowd. Reaching into my purse with my fingertips, I felt for the worn edges of my brother's postcard, the only clue James had sent of his whereabouts in the last 3 years. Clutching the postcard like a lifeline, I reminded myself again that the frayed card from Italy proved he was still alive. I knew it was a message, a code of some kind, telling me something. That one little postcard was the whole reason I'd left Indiana behind to attend Montrose Paranormal Academy in New York. Well, truth be told, the postcard wasn't the only reason I left Indiana. But who wants to hear another cliché story about catching your boyfriend with your best friend? So tacky, right? Goodbye, Indianapolis. Lucy McAllen has moved on to bigger and better things. That's right, me, a 16-year-old, on my own in the Big Apple. The city of possibilities. Okay, more like Riverdale, New York. But still, what could be better than a fresh start? Somewhere up ahead, a bullhorn screeched, grating into my eardrums. Everyone around me winced and covered their ears.
My apologies, students.
A sharp-dressed lady in a tan skirt and suit jacket stepped on a box and addressed the group, bullhorn in hand.
My name is Dean Fredrickson. Welcome to Montrose Paranormal Academy, or just Montrose Academy to the outside world.
She winked her dark lashes. A cheer erupted from the crowd. Dean Fredrickson waved her ebony hands until everyone quieted down.
I want to welcome all of you new students to the Academy. Montrose Paranormal Academy is a neutral training ground for the three societies, the Nexus Society, the Order of the Guardians, and the Watcher Corps. Here are some pamphlets about how the Academy was established.
The dean ushered to two assistants who started handing out glossy brochures. My insides clenched into a knot. I still had no idea how the Academy could be a neutral place for three warring secret societies, especially when so much power was at stake, which was the whole reason I'd avoided this school like the plague. Finally, a stack of sweaty pamphlets reached me. I took one and passed them on, fanning myself with a damp paper. While the dean droned on about dorm parents and resident assistants, I noticed that everyone in the crowd opened their pamphlets. Was I missing something? Maybe there was some kind of prize or coupon inside. Flipping open the brochure, I read the first few paragraphs. Montrose Academy was established in 1773 as one of four training institutions to keep the peace between the three societies. Before the creation of Montrose, the secret societies feuded over the sacred stones and caused countless wars throughout the world. At a peace council in 1770, the societies agreed to end the bloodshed by splitting up the stones and assigned them to four sectors around the world: Africa, Asia, Europe, and the New World, now North and South America. Each society would guard its own stone in each sector. They established neutral institutions in each sector to train members of all three societies to maintain the peace. Apparently, the dean was still talking.
You may pledge any of the three societies that interest you. All the Ivy League chapters of each society recruit from the society chapters on the campus. But remember, there are severe consequences for inter-society skirmishes on campus.
I inhaled a lungful of 90 degrees plus humidity. I had made a promise to pledge each society to see what info they had on my brother. But I couldn't expose my true intentions. If I ended up like James, or worse, I'd be of little use to him. As the secondborn in the Sears line, I had certain gifts, like foreknowledge and a keen sense of intuition. Those gifts were nothing compared to the powers of the Seer, a.k.a. my brother, or one of his future descendants. But if I wanted to figure out what these secret societies did to make him disappear, this was the best place to start. I'd just have to play it cool and fly way below their radar. Dean Fredrickson swiped at the perspiration beating her forehead.
Your classes will be a mix of core curriculum and paranormal classes. However, on your transcripts, your course will appear like normal classes, English, history, and so on. Pay special attention to those classes with a paranormal twist. This is your opportunity to see if you have any latent bloodline skills or to groom yourselves for higher-up roles in the three societies.
Raising her arms, she gestured around campus.
As first-year students, your classes have already been chosen for you. However, you can sign up for campus activities and get a tour of our lovely grounds. Please take advantage of these opportunities to prepare yourself for classes on Monday. You are dismissed.
With a roar of grumbles and murmurs, the students dispersed in all directions. I headed toward the orientation fair's mishmash of tents set up in between the boys' dorm and the girls' dorm buildings, which were actually renovated old mansions near the bank of the Hudson River. Sweat trickled down my back as the August sun beat down on me. If I could just find my roommate, we could go explore the grand campus waiting just beyond the hills. A guy squeezed next to me in the crowd. He flashed his piercing gray eyes at me, not to mention an adorable chin cleft, and waved a flyer in my face until I reached for it.
Welcome to Montrose. Hope to see you there.
His cinnamon breath spiced the air between us. I opened my mouth to respond, but nothing came out. Cute guys had that effect on me. He tilted up his chin, like he knew it was his best feature. Or was he just trying to get me to read the flyer in my hands? With a gold, fire-like logo, the flyer announced the Nexus Society's new recruit drive. Beads of sweat broke out on my forehead as the linen paper became moist in my hand. My pulse quickened. James had been Nexus president before he disappeared. Did they make him disappear? I guess I'd find out when I pledged the Nexus Society. Our parents tried to feed us some story about how James jetted off to Europe to recover from the mysterious death of his girlfriend, but I knew that wasn't the truth, and here was my chance to prove it. The flyer fluttered in my hand as I analyzed the words, trying to pick up a hint from my measly second-born powers like my brother had taught me. Could this Nexus guy help me find some connection to James? I scanned the crowd for my mystery man, but he'd already disappeared. No doubt the orientation dragon had swallowed him up. Then someone ripped the flyer from my hand. The thick paper sliced through my flesh. Ouch! I pressed my fingertip to my tongue. What'd you do that for? Another guy crumpled the paper against his polo and banked it off a tree trunk into the trash can 5 feet away. Show off. I glanced up to say as much, right into the most gorgeous eyes ever. Hold the phone. Smolder alert at the orientation fair. At least 6 foot, with inky hair,
aqua blue eyes, almost the...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?